Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John 15, and our focus this morning is on verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear your word, good news of the love that you have shown us through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word so that our faith is strengthened, and may that strong faith flow out in love for one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is risen. Yes, we're still celebrating Easter, but today, in the midst of the celebration of Easter, we are also celebrating Mom. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And we truly appreciate mothers because their love for their children is one of a kind. And what I mean by that is, let me tell you a little story. When I was young, I often fought ear infections. And I remember one particular time that an ear infection came on, of course, in the middle of the night. And so I got up and went out to the living room and called up to my parents' bedroom. And what did I say? Mom. I did not say Dad. I said Mom. And of course, my mom came down, sleepy, bleary-eyed. What's wrong? Well, my ear really hurts. Okay, let's go get the medicine. And I just remember, you know, tenderly laying my head in her lap, and she put the medicine in and just comforted me as best as she could, right there, half asleep in the middle of the night until I felt better. See, that's the kind of love that we are celebrating today with our mothers. However, that doesn't mean that this love that a mother has for her children is not challenging. One of my favorite comic strips is Calvin and Hobbes. Anyone familiar with Calvin and Hobbes? Well, I remember this one particular comic that just, it was so true, and I just laughed my head off. It's when Calvin cried out to his mom in the middle of the night, "Mom, Mom, wake up!" And she's just like, what, what's wrong? What's the matter? And then she's standing there half asleep in Calvin's bedroom, and instead of an emergency, Calvin is asking a really deep question. "Mom, do you think that love is nothing more than a biochemical reaction to make sure our genes get passed on?" And I'll never forget her response. "Whatever it is, it's all that's keeping me from strangling you right now." Yes, the love of a mother is unique, and at the same time, it can be challenging. Well, speaking of love, today we encounter the resurrected Christ in the church. And I'm not talking about when we gather as the church. I'm not talking about the resurrected Christ present in word and sacrament. No, I'm talking about how the risen Christ shows up in our love for one another. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, understand that Jesus is not talking about loving, say, the world that is outside of the church. He's not talking about how we go and love the world and serve as a good witness to the world with our love. No, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ, his disciples. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So why do we love one another? Well, as it says here, Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus chose us out of the world to be his own. Jesus actually calls us his friends. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Therefore, this love that we have for one another within the church is characterized by Jesus himself. It's a love where he lays down his life for his friends. It's this selfless, sacrificial love that we are to show one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, as soon as Jesus commands us to love one another, you suddenly realize how absurd it sounds. Because you cannot command love. You can't. I can't tell a mother or a father, love your kids. They just do. I can't tell a husband or a wife, love your spouse. They just love them. I can't say to a boyfriend, love your girlfriend. I can't command them to do that. They just do. It's absurd. And I want you to try this, just to see how absurd this sounds. I want you to think of someone that just rubs you the wrong way. Okay? I want you to think of someone that you just can't stand to be in the same room with. Maybe the relationship has deteriorated to the point where you might even consider them an enemy of sorts. Okay, got that? Got him? Now Jesus commands you, love them. And you're like, what, them? Them? You want me to love them? The one who has gone against me? The one who has slandered me and gossiped about me behind my back? Thrown me under the bus? The one who has done things that have hurt me and grieved me deeply? You want me to love them? Or Jesus commands you to love them, and you say, all right, fine, I got it, Jesus. I understand what this is all about. I will love them. But first, they got to clean up their act. I mean, you know, what they did was really painful to me. They got to clean up. They got to show that they're worthy of my love. And then I will love them. And now I want you to try this with a member of the church, a fellow brother or sister in Christ, someone who is standing before you, who believes and trusts that Jesus died and rose for them. And Jesus commands you, love them. And it's like hitting a brick wall. Because yes, even in the church, things are not perfect by far. Because you look at this member of the church and you look at all the times that they said things about you. The gossip, the slander, the mean words and criticisms that they leveled against you. You remember all the things that they've done to you that have hurt you deeply. And there you go. Really? Love them? How can I do that, Jesus? And that's when you realize just how imperfect our love can become within the body of Christ. That when Jesus commands you and me, love one another, it becomes a burden. And it weighs us down heavily. How are we going to get out of this? Well, let me offer you the story of someone that you're probably familiar with, Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus from Luke 19, the wee little man who climbed up a sycamore fig tree? Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and therefore no one loved him. No one. He was an outcast of society. He was hated by his own people because of what he was doing. No one loved him. And yet he had heard about this rabbi named Jesus, who happened to just be walking by. And because he was so short, he went up to the tree and was trying to get a look at him, when suddenly Jesus passed by and he stopped and he turned and he looked up and he says, "Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house today." Whoa. Really? This rabbi wants to come to my house? He wants to eat with me, have table fellowship with me? In other words, he accepts me even though I'm clearly unacceptable? He went down immediately from that tree and let's go. And he had a huge party. Now, do you remember what he did during that party? He said, "Lord, all this money that I've stolen from people, I'm going to give it back to them fourfold." And Jesus praises God and says, "Salvation has come to this house, for truly this man is a son of Abraham." And you notice one thing. Jesus did not command Zacchaeus to give away all that money. He did not command him saying, "All right, Zacchaeus, I showed you a lot of love here. Now get going. You need to love others. You need to give all this money back to them." He didn't. No, Zacchaeus did that freely on his own, simply because the Lord loved him. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And how has Jesus loved you and me? "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life for you and me. He sacrificed his life at the cross, where he was crucified, where he bled, where he died for your sin and my sin. And he did this knowing full well that we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve his love. We didn't deserve any of it. You know what we deserved? We deserved to lose our own lives. We deserve to lose them because we did not love God. We rebelled against him. We rejected him. He became our enemy that we wanted nothing to do with, and yet he loved us anyway. Loving us at the cross and the empty tomb. Loving us even now as his friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." We're friends. We are friends of the Almighty God. You know, Jesus doesn't just love you, he likes you. He wants to be around you. You are his friends. And it's not because, oh, it's some kind of condition. Well, if I do what he commands, well, then I get to be his friend. No. You are his friends because he has chosen you freely to be his friends, to be his church. And that is one of the greatest ways that the Lord loves us. You are his church. He has brought us all together. He has united us in him. We are the body of Christ that gets to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, the love that we show one another, it looks like the love that Jesus has shown us. This is a love that lays down your life. Now, don't understand this. This doesn't mean that you have to take a bullet from someone in here, okay? Maybe, but that's not what Jesus is exactly saying. Instead, he's saying, you are focusing on the other. You are focusing on their needs. You're focusing on them because you have stopped focusing on yourself. Stop focusing on your own need to justify yourself. Stop focusing on your own pain and hurts. No, you're now focusing on them. And this is a love, therefore, that is truthful. It acknowledges that even within the body of Christ, we have our sins, we have our failures, we have our disappointments. We are going to say and do things that hurt one another, and we're going to acknowledge that. And that means, therefore, we're not going to attack one another, and we're not going to abandon one another when this happens. Therefore, this love is forgiving. Because this means you are willing to absorb the pain and hurt that has been inflicted upon you just simply because all of it, all the pain, all the hurt, all the evil and sinful things said and done, it's still in the tomb. That's where it is. It's not easy. It's not easy being the church. It's not easy standing before your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and you remember what they said to me. You remember what they did to me, and you're crying out to the Lord, how can I be commanded to love them? Well, it is possible when you don't need to be commanded. When you love as you have been loved. When you love as Jesus has loved you. Because while the love of a mother is one of a kind, even as it may be challenging, the love that we encounter in the risen and resurrected Jesus Christ is equally one of a kind, because it is a love that is found in his church. Those who have been filled with his selfless, sacrificial, forgiving love, those who have been filled with the same love for one another. Amen.